9999999. If his kingdom is on this earth and he is going to come back to Zion, to Jerusalem, of course he's going to be here. And where are you going to be? You better be here too. Right? The Lord prayed that where he is, there you will also be. Right? That where I am, that they will also be. So if he's up there, you should be up there too. In the spirit. Spiritually, you should be with him up there. Sitting with him in the heavenlies. But when he returns and he's going to be in Zion, in Jerusalem, where are you going to be? You better be here with him. Otherwise, how are you going to rule and reign over the nations with an iron rod? Right? So, it's very clear that when he comes, you're not going to be up there. You better be down here with him. You'll be up there with him just for 3.5 years because it is so terrible here on this earth. And the only safe place is really up there. Then he will come down and we come down with him. Right? Learn to follow the Lamb wherever he goes. So when he goes up there, you go with him up there. And when he comes down here, don't try to stay up there, okay? You come down with him. And to rule with him on this earth for 1,000 years. Right? So I don't know why people don't realize that. It's a very simple, logical explanation here in the Bible. So now, beginning in verse 60, the main title there is the glory of Zion, because God is going to glorify Zion. But spiritually, today, he is building Zion. But the spiritual Zion, the heavenly Zion, he is not building the earthly one. He already gave it up. But then he has to restore Jerusalem because he's coming back. Otherwise, he won't have a place to come back to. That's why do not underestimate the declaration that Jerusalem is the eternal capital, because it is the eternal capital. Not because so-and-so said so, but because God said so. That is where he's going to be, and that's where he's going to come back to. Right? And if you ask, where did it say? Isaiah 59:20, the Redeemer will come back to Zion. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He will come back to Zion. This is why it is so important that we talk about that peace treaty and the last 7 years, because that last 7 years is connected to the previous 69 weeks. So when the Lord comes back, that last week must be fulfilled. Right? Otherwise, where is the Lord going to go to? Fountain Valley? I don't think so. No, it's a valley. It's too low. And no fountain. No water. No, he is going to go back to Zion. You need to feel it. You know, you need to feel it. It's not just a doctrine. That's why we are in ecstasy. In a way, we are excited. Aren't you excited? Wow, when that was declared, my heart leaped Yeah. Right. Because, wow, that means the time is coming closer. The time is coming closer. And when the embassy was moved there, wow, it is even closer. Right. So it is all that outward confirmation. But we need more confirmation. So let's wait and see. Yeah. People may laugh at us. Let them laugh. It doesn't matter. It's better than praying for that woman. Right? So may the Lord really open our eyes. Right? And you have to see. You have to see in the Word how important Zion is. This is why we are watching, and the world is watching. Right. So the manifestation of the kingdom on earth. And this is really amazing that Isaiah talked about it. This is why the scope, the spectrum, the scope of Isaiah's writing is so wide, so broad. It includes the beginning to the end. So it says here in Isaiah, the glory of the Lord rising up as the sun and appearing upon Zion. That's the place where it's going to shine out. Exactly according to what the Bible says. Out of Zion, the glory of the Lord will shine. The light will shine. Right? Arise and shine. My, this is really wonderful. You have to read it again and again and put that verse on the wall of your bedroom. Arise and shine, for your light has come. He's talking to Zion now. He's talking to Zion. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And of course, you turn on the light when it is bright, when it is dark. So that shows that the time that the Lord will return to this earth is when it is the darkest hour. When darkness will cover this earth, terrible darkness. Today, I cannot tell you everything that is going on, because if I do, you get goosebumps. And you have nightmares. But it is very, very dark what these people are doing. In secret, in darkness. Right. Well, of course, all the works of darkness are done in secret. Right. Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. The deep darkness, the people. But for you and me today, we have to take heed to what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, and let the morning star Amen. Rise in your heart. Amen. Yes. Right. So, hey, before the Lord comes, we need to let the morning star here rise in our heart. Let's read it again, because it has something to do with the Lord's coming. Right? And Peter was also very concerned concerning the Lord's coming. Right? Verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Praise the Lord. And this is referring to the coming of the Lord. Yeah. Right. Because the light only shines when it is dark. Nobody turns on the light at home when it is so bright, except when you're in a darker room. Right. So praise the Lord. You can really see here in Isaiah, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. And it is at this time in the darkness hour, the darkest hour, that the Lord will return. But it should not take us by surprise. That means the morning star must first rise within us. This is very, very meaningful. Meaning to say, when the Lord comes at that time in his secret coming to rapture us to the throne, that is the time when everybody is still sleeping, we will be taken up. Right. But that morning star must rise in our heart, and we must take heed to this prophetic word. If you do not take heed, right, then you will miss it. You will miss it. Anyway, I don't need to get into it, but you can all get into it yourself, right? Amen. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Wonderful. Right? So, you have to realize that this is where the Lord is going to shine out when he returns. Not just in any place. Be Zion, Jerusalem, the city of the great king. All of these verses you have to get into. Right? You have to get into. And this is why the Lord, especially at this age, at the end of this age, is emphasizing with us the city of Zion. Nobody talks about Zion so much in the previous years. Right? Yes, we mentioned Zion, yeah. Right? But today, for us, Zion must be something that is very, very practical, very real, experiential. Right? It must be written in your heart, Zion. Right? I believe some years ago I mentioned the name of Zion means what? It's a parched land, burned, just like in a desert, with heat. Just like in California, there when there's summertime and there's fire, and at the end the whole hill looks like a parched, burned, dry hill. But that was the outward. Yeah. When I first realized that many years ago, I said, Lord, why did you choose this name? Right. Why did you choose a name that has such a meaning concerning the city, the great city of the great king? If I were to choose a name, I wouldn't choose that name. Would you? I would choose Emmanuel. Well, Jerusalem is not bad, but Zion? The parched land, dried, burned up. Then I begin to realize, outwardly it looks like nothing. You know, we, religion, like to build nice, beautiful place, outwardly decorated. Wow, 700 million pesos. A nice meeting hall. I used to appreciate that. Oh, wow, a nice meeting hall. Wow, German made. Glorious. Glorious. You can have it. The Lord will say, you build it, you keep it. It's your house, so you keep it. Right. What the Lord is building is nothing outward. Outwardly, in man's eyes, just like when the Lord came the first time on this earth, he came as a great king, a handsome fellow, tall, dark, and handsome. What does Isaiah say? No comeliness, no beauty that we would desire him, and he grew out of a dry land. You know, if you plant a tree, you're not going to plant a tree in the desert without water and so dry. And are you going to plant it over there? You're going to plant it in a very fertile and full of water by the side of the river, like Psalm 1, like a tree planted by the side of the river, right? But the Lord came out of a dry land. That's why if you bring up your son not in Canada but in Africa somewhere where there is no milk, where there's hardly anything to eat, you think your son is going to grow big, strong? No. Right? So our Lord, when he came, he never used anything outward actually to attract people. You cannot see anything natural in him that you would like him. No wonder he says, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him. Because if the Father doesn't draw him, nobody's going to come to him. Nobody will believe our report, it's written. Isaiah says, who's going to believe our report? Nobody believes. So it's not necessary for us to pull people. Come, 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 please come. We have a nice fried chicken here. Beautiful evening meal, you know. Please come, come. Forget about that. People should come because our Father draws him, because of the truth, because of the life. Not because you have a nice meeting place. Right. And so, praise the Lord, this is why it is called Zion. You need eyes to see. You need to understand what it is. You need to see him, then you'll appreciate Zion. Zion is nothing outward that is attractive for men. No. What makes us attract people is this wonderful living God. God is there. This is why at the very end of Ezekiel, Jerusalem and the temple of God is called what? Jehovah or Yahweh Shammah. Right? You remember that? No? Nobody remembers? Oh, come on. We're all young people. No dementia here. It means Jehovah the Lord is here. If he's not here, just you and me and all of us here, that must not be Zion. That must not be Jerusalem, his house. So, praise the Lord. Amen. Here we see that it is the city of the great king. He must be here. Make sure he is here. Right? And the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ is there. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Of course, he needs a place where his throne is. That must be Jerusalem, right? In Ezekiel 43, 5-7, the Lord says, here will be my throne forever. Forever. Right? Now, here in the outline today, he's sitting on a throne in the heavens at the right hand of God the Father. But spiritually, he should be the head over all things where? To the church. That means the church must have his throne. Does he have his throne? or who is sitting on a throne? Is it just like me demonstrating, sitting on here and spill things all over? This is what's going to happen if somebody else is sitting and try to sit on his throne. It'll be just like a little baby trying to climb up in the seat, in your seat. Right? So here, today, physically he is there. But spiritually, as the Spirit today, he must be the head over all things in the church. If truly it is his church. Who owns your house? Hopefully. Suppose we kick you out and we occupy your house. Yeah, really? Yeah, but I would take it by force. Change the paperwork. Put a gun on your head. Yeah. Sign, please. Steal your house after you sign? Right. This is the problem. This is the problem. You know, in England, there is still a law. They didn't change it yet. I don't know why. If you went on vacation and somebody somehow break into your house and change all the lock, when you come back, it's his house. It's not your house anymore. It's a crazy law, but it's a law. I hope they don't change the law in California to be like that. Yeah. Well, but that's happening. The churches. So, praise the Lord. And at his second coming, he will be sitting on the throne in Jerusalem, the earthly Jerusalem there. And that temple in Ezekiel will be built. Amen. People are laughing at me, saying, wow, why you talk about that dimension and talk about the temple in Ezekiel, that's useless, that's nonsense. Well, for them it is nonsense. That means poor God, he wrote something that is nonsense. Actually, they are not criticizing me, they're criticizing Ezekiel, and criticizing Ezekiel is criticizing God, because that that dimension, that drawing, that design is not from Ezekiel. It is from the heavenly architect. And this is going to be built when the Lord Jesus comes. And his throne is going to be there. And in eternity, in the new heaven and new earth, Revelation chapter 21 and 22 tells us he's going to be sitting in the new Jerusalem, that holy city. Then, Grace, you can visit the holy city. That is really called the holy city, the new Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Right. But today we have to see spiritually the Lord must sit on the throne today in our midst. When the Lord says two or three of you praying, he is in your midst. But we are more than two or three. We are today Zion. And so he has to be not only in us, but there is also such a thing as in our midst. He is in the middle. And that's his throne. He should be there. It's the house of the living God, not the house of the elders. Not the house of the apostles. So his throne must be in our midst today. the throne of God, that means he must be head over all things today. But unfortunately, men, the small men, we are all small. We try to be so big, try to be the head, right? We try to be the head. No, we are not the head. So may the Lord really open our eyes to see what Zion is. His throne is very, very important. Right? Then when he comes back, Isaiah here says, then the nations shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising. This is also very important here to see. The Lord's coming is not only for Zion, but he is coming to rule over the whole nations, the whole earth. Wonderful. This is salvation even for the unbelievers when he comes. Then there will be righteousness and peace. And the nations will see the light. Today, unfortunately, when the nations look at us, do they see the light? We say we preach the gospel, right? But in our concept of preaching the gospel, it is not the light we are sharing, just the teachings. But there is no light shining forth. The churches are the golden lampstands. And we must, holding the word of life, must go forth and shine as lights in this dark world. And no wonder the Lord also says, you are the light of the world. We preach, but we are not shining. What are we going to do? No wonder our preaching is not very effective sometimes, right? I'm not discouraging the saints to preach the gospel. I'm encouraging you to shine. Shine, arise and shine. We have to shine. Right? And Philippians says that. Right? Want to read it? Or not necessary? Not necessary. Okay, lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together and they come to you. So the nations will bring all of their riches to Jerusalem. It's really wonderful, right? Not to the Jews, but mainly to the Lord, of course. And God's people in that time will all be saved and sanctified and go through trials and be purified. You'll see later here, right? And they will gather all of God's people. It says here, your sons shall come from afar, all of the Jews, the seed of Abraham. And your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant. That's Zion, right? And your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you, and the wealth of the nations shall come to you. So Jerusalem will be not only the capital of Israel, but the capital of the whole world. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful place. I don't think we can really imagine such a thing happening. Today, it is the opposite. They hate that city. Now you know why they hate that city. And they want to destroy it. They want to occupy it. They're not going to give it away. Right? They would rather die and create war over it. Right? And it's really, really amazing. Even the United Nations is against Jerusalem. Can you imagine that? they have no other unity. But when it comes to unity against Jerusalem, they're all one. So that must be oneness with the devil. Definitely oneness with the devil. Right. So this is really an amazing situation. The multitude of camels shall cover your land. The dromedaries, it's another kind of a camel, right? Of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come, and they shall bring gold and incense. They shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. This is really wonderful. Isn't that great to see that day coming? We need to pray, Lord, come quickly. Amen. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together to you. The rams of Naboth shall minister to you, and they shall ascend with acceptance on my altar. God will accept them. And I will glorify the house of my glory. Wow. It's called the house of his glory. I will glorify the house of my glory. Wow. I don't think we can really imagine how it will look like. Right? Once in a while, I still consider the architecture of that wonderful temple in Jerusalem. I suggest you look at it. Yeah, maybe you can make a little model out of it. Oh Lord, I will glorify the house of my glory. Right? So this is the glory of Zion when he comes back. That's why then Isaiah at this point in time make an exclamation, who are these who fly like a cloud and like doves returning to their coves? Right? Because they are not just bringing all the riches, but they are carrying all the sons and daughters of Zion back to Zion. Wow, they are even being carried. Right? Today they were hated by the people, right? Oh goodness, the terrible hatred against the Jews today is amazing, for no good reason at all. But when the Lord comes back, they will be, it's an honor to carry them to Jerusalem, back to Israel, to the place where the king dwells. Right. Now you know why that verse is printed in the coin. Right. Surely all the nations, the coastlands refers to the nations of the Gentiles, shall wait for me. The ships of Tarshish will come first to bring your sons from afar, you see. Right? They will bring the sons from afar. Their silver and gold with them. To the name of the Lord your God and to the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified you. Yeah, today they were persecuted because of their sins and the evil that they have done. But in that day when the Lord comes back, to the remnant the Lord will glorify them. The sons of foreigners shall build up your walls. Well, praise the Lord. That will be another building there, right? And the king shall minister to you. For in my wrath I struck you because of their evil that they have done, rejecting the Lord, worshipping idols, and my goodness, killing the Son of God, right? Rejecting him and crucifying him. It is terrible. But in my favor now, I have mercy on you. This is really such a wonderful thing. You know, God's anger is not forever with us, with his people. But he will definitely punish us, judge us. But then there will be a time of favor. Therefore your gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut by day or night, that men may bring to you the wealth of the nations. They are bringing day and night. Praise the Lord. And the kings in procession taking turns to come. For the nations and kingdoms which will not serve you shall perish. And those nations shall be utterly ruined. Well, these are the days of the kingdom. No more grace. Nope. The glory of Lebanon shall come to you. The cypress, the pine, the box tree together to beautify the place of my sanctuary. That's the main thing, to beautify God's house. Right? All of these is for the beauty of God's house, the glory of God's house. And today we need to learn in principle, everything must be for the beautifying of God's house, of this wonderful spiritual house. Right? And I will make the place of my feet glorious, because he's the King of Kings, of course. It'll be the most glorious place on earth and also in the universe. Also the sons of those who afflicted you shall come bowing to you. Ah, I like to put that in the internet. Put it in the Twitter. You like to put a verse in the Twitter and Facebook? You put it there. And all those who despise you shall now fall prostrate at the sole of your feet. And they shall call you the local church. What shall they call you? The city of the Lord. Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Wow. Praise the Lord. Let us get used to this name today. The city of the living God. The city of our Lord. Zion. The Holy One of Israel. To know him as the Holy One. That means we all have to be holy. And this is where the Lord introduced himself to the church in Philadelphia. This is he, the one who speaks, the Holy One. Amen. The Holy One. Yeah. The one who has the key of David. Praise the Lord. Right? And the name specifically written in our forehead is not only the name of God, but the name of the city of our God, the New Jerusalem. Amen. Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. Right? We need to appreciate this and have the spiritual reality to a certain extent today when we are building the church. Yeah. Otherwise, it's just written here. It's no good. I'm not going to wait just when the Lord comes back. We need to have a foretaste today of this reality, because we are building the spiritual reality of this city. For them, they have to wait until that day. But I hope we don't have to wait until that day. I hope that now, today, we will have an experience, even though it may be limited, but we may have the experience of what is written here by Isaiah. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated, well, praise the Lord. In a sense, we are forsaken and hated. They don't like us. Well, but the Lord likes us, praise the Lord. Rejected by men, but chosen and precious for God, right? Amen. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated, so that no one went through you, I will make you an eternal excellence. Wow. I would rather be forsaken and hated today. Would you? Amen. Or would you prefer to be appreciated and loved by everybody. Well, praise the Lord. God will said here, I will make you an eternal excellence, a joy of many generations. If it's eternal, so how many generations? It must be many, many, many unending generations. And you shall drink the milk of the Gentiles and milk the breasts of kings. That means all the riches of the nations will come to you. And you shall know and really appreciate that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Amen. Wow. You should read it, really, yourself to appreciate it. Instead of bronze, I will bring gold. Instead of iron, silver. Instead of wood, bronze. Instead of stones, iron. I will make all your officers and ministers peace. Praise the Lord. Wonderful word. I love this word, peace. That's why we are keeping, enjoying Christ as the peace offering. And your magistrate's righteousness. Wow, these two words must be inscribed in our heart today. Peace and righteousness. These are the most wonderful expression of Zion. Because it's the kingdom. Just like here in this country, if there's no peace and righteousness, it's very difficult to live here. I'm sorry, you just moved here, right? But there's still some peace and righteousness. No problem. Don't run away, okay? But here in Zion, remember peace and righteousness. Praise the Lord for this two wonderful, I don't even know what to call it, wonderful characteristics of Zion. Especially if you are an elder or a leading brother or bearing some responsibility in the church life, remember these two words, peace and righteousness. Don't quarrel, don't argue, don't fight. No need for that, right? And do everything in a righteous way. Today it is different. Fighting, no peace, and unrighteous. Violence shall no longer be heard in your land. How wonderful. In the days of Noah, the world is full of violence. Killing every day in the newspaper. There's no more good news. If there's no killing, no bombing, and then it would be a real surprise. Right? Those are the main news today. Oh, there is a killing again. Oh, the bomb explodes again. Oh, there is war again. Oh, there is this again. Goodness. But here in Zion, violence shall no longer be heard. Neither wasting, no destruction within your borders. Oh, praise the Lord, we have borders. To have a border is very scriptural. Yes. Right? We don't let just everything in. But you shall be called, what? Your walls of salvation. Wow, my goodness. We have borders and we have walls. But we also have gates, praise the Lord. Amen. We don't just have walls, but we have gates. Right? A gate is for coming in. Wall is for keeping out. So we keep out anything that shouldn't be come in. And in New Jerusalem, it's the same thing. Without are this, and that. Right? They do not come in. The sun shall no longer be your light by day, because our God is our light. He shines brighter than the sun. He is the real light That's why the Lord, when he came, he says, I am the light of the world. He is the light. So you need to experience daily today in the church life, the Lord is our light. He is your light. He is the light of life. Don't walk in darkness. Terrible for us Christians to walk in darkness. And the more you walk in darkness, the deeper you fall into darkness. And the Lord says, how great will that darkness be? Not just a little bit dark. No, it's great and deep darkness. Right? Amen. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, verse 20. And the days of your mourning shall be ended. Today, blessed are they that mourn. Right? Because of the situation today, we are mourning. But in those days when the Lord comes back, no more mourning. Also, your people shall all be what? Righteous. You sure? Not just some? Your people shall all be righteous. And temporarily? What does it say? Forever. Forever. I have seen some righteous people become unrighteous, and some unrighteous people become righteous, and then later on become unrighteous again. And then sometimes righteous, sometimes unrighteous. I don't know what kind of righteousness that is. That is probably not Christ as our righteousness. Right? So, and they shall be the branch of my planting. Wow. His plantation. It's something living. The work of my hands, wonderful. His planting, his hands. And for what? That I may be glorified. Well, this is the whole thing. Don't glorify yourself. Glorify God. All glory must go to God. You remember that little verse in Isaiah that says, my glory I will not, what? You think God is going to share your glory, his glory? Well, he said so. So, in eternity, the whole wonderful thing is that he will be glorified. Not just as God, but because of all the wonderful things that finally was put in the right places. Today it's chaos. You look at all these things, who will believe that there is God? That's why a lot of people say, what? You believe in God? Look at what's happening today all around. Where is your God? Can the situation today glorify God? No. No. It expresses evil, the devil. And then verse 22, and then we can stop here. A little one shall become a thousand. Wow. Not just the strong one become a thousand. A little one. Really wonderful. God's people become a mighty people. We don't need the number. Just one is already equal to a thousand. So how many thousands do we have here? 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000. Just this two first row, we have 8,000. How do you count? And there, 10,000 equals to none. What's the use of having 10,000, 20,000? All are for prosperity, and all are for themselves. But here in Zion, 1,000 will be equal to how many? 1 will equal to how many? 1,000. And the small one, right? And a small one, a little one, shall become a thousand, and a small one, a strong nation. Wow! What do we have here in Fountain Valley? We have a nation. Praise the Lord. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. The Lord is going to do it. The Lord is going to do it. Praise the Lord. And let's hope he keeps his word here that he will hasten to do it. We'll have to tell him, Lord, do it quickly, please. Right? Do it quickly. Let's have some prayer.